Praise God. All power, all glory, everything is in you, Jesus. Come on. All power, all glory, everything is in you, Jesus. Where are you? All power, all glory, everything is in you, Jesus. And where are you? You're in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoo. Wow. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Man. Everybody happy? Good to see you come out today. I guess the memo didn't get out that we were open today. The church is always open. Where's the church? Us. Wherever we are, we're the church. Two or three of us together, we got the church. We bring the church. We bring the church all over the world. Bring the church to the streets, to the marketplace, to work. We bring the church everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back there, there's a few buckets of mangoes. Really, 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 really delicious mangoes. I'm going to tell you the story behind that. We have this really nice mango tree in our front yard. And 3 years ago, not counting this year, but three previous years, we got like hardly nothing off the trees. And the squirrels got most of what was on the trees. So I would formulate ways to try to get the squirrels to stop. You know, I'd get rubber snakes and hang them in the tree and put little owls, put sounding devices there. Get away! Get away! You know, tried putting a little net, a little fence around it. It didn't work. The squirrels won. And this last year, I was just looking at it and said, I don't get it, Lord. I don't get it. What's the problem? He said to me, you. What? How am I the problem? The squirrels are the problem. Yeah, I'm thinking the squirrels are the problem, right? We think the squirrels in our life are problems. No, he said, I said, how am I the problem? He said, all of creation is waiting for the sons of God to manifest themselves. All of creation is waiting for the sons of God to stand up and declare to the creation what it needs to hear. That tree was created to bring mangoes. So I stood there and I looked at that tree and I said, you will bear mangoes and you will bear mangoes in abundance. And I want to tell you what has happened with that thing. You see what's out there? I don't know how many times more we've gotten than what's there. It's, I mean, it's so crazy that we didn't really have to spend that much time even picking them off the tree. Go out there. I go out there with the pole, you know, to grab them, pull them down, and then they're falling, just falling. All around. Last Saturday, just for fun, I went out there seven times, and every time I got like half a dozen to a dozen mangoes on the ground, just dropped for me to pick up. It's like, wow. Okay, sons and daughters of God, stand up. Stand up and take your position in the kingdom. Stand up and take your position as to who God created you to be. We don't have to fear. We don't have to fear anything. Jesus spoke to the tree. Fig tree, what did he say? Oh, there's no figs on it. He said, well, it wasn't fig tree season. Well, the one who created the tree wants figs. It better bear figs. Okay, so he's told, well, you're not going to do it anymore. He didn't curse it to die. The only way that it could not bear fruit anymore was to understand the only way to do that was to die. So because of his words, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. When I speak something, it happens. And I'm thinking about that, and a lot. And what I'm going to share with you today will absolutely radically whack change your life. If you get it, if you listen, you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, this will radically change your life. It will. It has been mine on a continual basis, and it's just getting gooder and gooder and gooder. It's really getting gooder. So, Father, we're in agreement that you're our daddy, and you're a good daddy. You're a good God, and you love us, and you're the giver of every good and every perfect gift. And you've given us Jesus. You've given us the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. You've given him to us, and now we've been made one with you. What an awesome privilege. You will continue to open our eyes, open the eyes of our heart, that we would see and we would see clearly. That truth would come, truth would overrule any lies or any deception, and your truth would rule and reign in us physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every aspect of our life. We bless what's in your heart to do because we know it's good. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. So I've talked to you a little bit about my granddaughter, my little granddaughter. She's nine. Nine, gonna be ten. Okay. She's very open to me talking to her about God, and very open. And a little while ago, you remember, I went because she got baptized, and she that was in water, and her mother is not is not really embraced some of the things, in the Word. And Nancy and I took the position many, many years ago, we're not going to try to change her. We're going to love her, and we're going to pray for her, and we're going to believe for her. Can you believe for someone else? Yes, you bet you can. You certainly can. What happens when you're praying for a sick, lost person? They don't have any faith. Can you believe for them? You absolutely can. Power of God comes. So I got this call. This call from my granddaughter. And my daughter was standing right there when she was talking to me, and she said, "Grandpa, Grandpa, I'm speaking in tongues now." I'm speaking in tongues now. She said, "I was baptized in the Holy Ghost." She's telling me this. And I'm thinking, oh, her mother's standing right there. Oh, boy. She said, "I want to talk to you about it, though, Grandpa, because I need some explanation." "Sure. What do you need an explanation for?" She said, "Well, it kind of sounds like Babel coming out. And my mind doesn't understand it. Is that normal?" I said, "That's totally normal. It's not coming from your mind. It's coming out of your spirit." Hallelujah. She said, "Grandpa, I really like it. I can tell that it's powerful, and I can tell that it's having an effect on my life and the things around me, but I don't really understand." I said, "You'll understand that more. You just keep praying in tongues." Okay. And I went on to tell her stories and other things that I had learned about, and she was just all ears. And I know it wasn't just her ears that heard. And God is so good to arrange all that. And when we made a decision years ago, we're just going to love. We're not going to try to change anybody. We're not going to try to push our doctrine on anyone. We're not going there. We're just going to love and demonstrate the real Jesus. And it was just such a, I wish I could have tape recorded it. It was so cool. It was so, a little 9-year-old. It was like, wow, the grasp that girl has on the spirit realm and her relationship with Jesus is amazing. Just amazing. And then we ended a conversation with, she said, "Can I go to Africa with you now, Grandpa?" I said, "I already told you can go, but it's not my decision. It's your parents' decision. And they're not ready for that yet." Praise God. Praise God. Wow. So where do I start with this? Man. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay. There's a whole bunch of things that I have been learning over the last number of years that have just kind of like done away with wrong beliefs and wrong theology. What's the number one sin that affects our walk? It's unbelief, right? We just don't believe the truth. We just don't believe what God says. We just don't believe the word could possibly mean what it says and mean what it says to me. It's the unbelief keeps us from enjoying so much of the stuff that's been given to us. And I want to look at some scriptures. Okay, so this one, how many of you know that in the Gospels, when Jesus was talking, except for the last two chapters of each Gospel, that he was talking to lost people? Talking to religious people, he's talking to people that about what was coming, and that they needed to look to him and place their trust in him. And I, in my early Christian years, I mean, I memorized a lot of scriptures, and I memorized them with a wrong interpretation. And it's just so refreshing to have Holy Spirit show me the real meaning behind these things. And I just, you know, I want to pass on to you. You know, everybody, when you get something good, you don't want to just keep it to yourself, right? You want to bless other people. You want to pass it on. And these things I'm going to share with you are just so life-changing. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter. Hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at the verse 31. I affirm by the boasting in which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. What does your Bible say? Does it say that? Does it say I die daily? Okay. A better rendering, a better interpretation of that would be I face death daily. Because of this and the way it's worded, I die daily, the church has taken on this idea that there are things that we need to do besides what Jesus has done for us. There are things that we need to do, we need to accomplish to become mature, to become to where we're walking in the fullness of God. There are things that we need to do besides what Jesus has done. And we need to go through this exercise, which I did for years, and maybe some of you still are, go through this exercise where you try to get these things out of your life that you know are not right. You try to die to those things, right? I mean, that's the way I was taught. That's the way it was preached for so often, but that I heard. He says here, I die daily, but when you read it in context, we've got to read it in context. He's not talking about our personal walk that way at all. He's talking about death and resurrection. He's talking about physically dying. And he's saying, I face that physical possibility of physical death every day. That's what he's saying. Okay, so he's not saying the way that this is interpreted. Have you heard that? Well, I just need to die to myself. I just need to die to myself. I was taught that. And I taught other people that for years. It's contrary to the gospel of grace. It's contrary to the gospel that Jesus Christ has done everything for you that you need. It's contrary to the truth that there is nothing left except for you to believe and step into your faith. Nothing left but for you to believe and step into your faith. Step into the kingdom. There's nothing left for us to do except to step into the truth of what Jesus has done for us and to believe it is true for us. Anything that's added onto that is religion. It's flesh. It's carnal. It's demonic. It's demonic wisdom. It's not from God. And the church is still packed with stuff that's got mixtures of, you know, all these things added on to what this is what you got to do to be holy. And on and on and on the list goes, right? And the only thing it does is frustrate us. The only thing it does is get us discouraged. The only thing it does is set us back. The only thing it does is cause people to walk out the doors of churches because they just can't do it. That's not Christianity. Christianity is the life of Christ, Him just simply living through us. And that's a faith deal. It's a faith deal. And it's the most exciting thing that could ever happen to anybody. My God, my God. Whew. And it just keeps getting, you know, I like this word, gooder and gooder. It just keeps getting gooder and gooder. It really does. We don't die daily. We die one time. Who the person that you were born into this world in as, your spirit person, is dead. You're here and you're born again. That old lady, that old man, died one time. And he ain't coming back. He's dead, buried with Christ. Finished. Done. But so many people and so many theologies embrace that he's still around. And he's still inside of you. The old man's still there. Oh yeah, well I got a new spirit. I got the Holy Spirit. And I got the old man spirit. No, you don't. As long as you believe that, you're going to get the effect of that wrong belief. You're going to get the effect of that lie. I'm going to tell you some stuff. That's just going to it's going to curl your socks. Hi, how about this? How many times have you heard people say, "Yeah, I was explaining to a guy about being born again." He says he was a Christian. And he says, "Oh yeah, I've been born again many, many times." You ever have somebody tell you that? Oh yeah, I get born again all the time. I get born again and born again and I get my born again. I just born again. You know, it's fun, it's good. You get born again one time. You die one time. The old you die one time. And you don't need to die anymore. Now we need to discover who we are. Now we need to discover who we've been born to be. We're born again to be who? To be a mighty woman of God, to be filled with the anointing of God, to have the glory of God saturate and soak your entire being. You got born again to be a new person, a new creation, unlike any other creation there ever was. Not born again to struggle with the old person, because the old person's still in you. Dead, buried, crucified, finished, gone. 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 So what we do every day, is we choose to walk. When I say walk, I mean to live according to. We choose to walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh. Every day. We make that choice many times every day. You may not even realize you're making that choice. You may not even think of it. There'll be no conscious thought that you're making a choice. But all day long, every day, we make a choice to walk, to live according to the flesh, which will bring death. Will bring sickness, bring disease, bring everything you don't want, or we choose to walk according to the Spirit of Christ, who now is living within us and become one with us. Every day we do that. And we need to come to the place where we recognize and acknowledge when I've stepped out of that place of walking in the Spirit, step out of that place of trusting in Him to live His life through me, trusting in Him to empower me, trusting in Him to give me words. When I step out of that place, into that place of the flesh, where now it's, well, I know how to handle this. Well, I got a word for you. Take this, dude. You know, when I step into that place, we need to recognize when we step into it, because we just stepped from life to death. We just stepped from wholeness and health to sickness and disease. We make that step, because that's what comes out of the flesh. That's what comes out of walking there. But it's our choice. He won't force us, but He's made available to us the Spirit to walk, to live in, to trust in the Holy Spirit. And everything good that you could ever imagine comes out of this position, out of this walk, out of this trust. Everything good comes out of this. Everything. And the only thing holding us back is not because we haven't gone through the religious hoops, not because we haven't done all the things that we're told that we should be doing, Okay, it has nothing to do with doing. It has everything to do with what are you believing? Are you believing you're a new creation? Are you believing you're a brand new person? Are you believing the Spirit of God is alive in you? Are you believing that right now? He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Do you believe that? Or do you believe that you flip back and forth between the old man and the new man? You flip back and forth between, you know, living in sin and that you're just a sinner saved by grace. And is that what you believe? Jesus said, according to what you believe, according to what you believe, according to your faith, that's what's going to be done unto you. Man, if we could understand, we blame the devil for so much stuff. It's really what we're believing. It's what we're thinking and what we're believing that affects our entire life. Affects tomorrow, affects today, affects what we get to see, what we don't get to see. It affects the reality of the kingdom or the reality of the world kingdom. What do you want? The world kingdom sucks. It really does. I mean, it's dog eat dog. Good. Who can punch the hardest? You know, who can last till the end and overcome the other guy and all this stuff going on. But in the kingdom of heaven, you walk as more than a conqueror. You walk as a victor. You walk as having already defeated. Jesus is for you. Because you're in him, already defeated every obstacle that will ever come your way, ever, ever, ever. It's already done. You can walk in that. And how do we do that? Only believe, only trust. That's it. That's how it works in the kingdom. It's not anything else. All the other stuff is fluff. I know I struggled with fluff a lot of years. Okay? It's not at all what it's cracked up to be. How many times have you been told, well, you better do this. You better get your act cleaned up. You better get your life straightened up. You better get the sin out of your life. You better, you know, all these things that you know what I found out? If I'll stay here in this place of abiding in him, sin can't be here. It's got to stay over there. And it loses its power. It loses its effect on me. Not because of what I'm doing, because of what I'm believing. And I'll probably say this 12,000 times. It's because that bad thought that you have in your head, okay? That's the bad thought's not the problem. Okay, your mind's like a receiver. It's open to the spiritual realm. You're going to get thoughts coming from demons and all over the place, okay? And this world system is filled with all kinds of thoughts that will drag you down and knock you out, okay? That stuff's going to come into your head. The problem is not that you're having the thought. The problem is that you're believing the thought. Oh, my. Oh, my. So look at this. This is one of the first scriptures I memorized, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said, Luke 9, 23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. So entire theology made up around that. Anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So, you know, I had visions of becoming like a monk at one time, you know. I was going to give everything up. Couldn't give my wife up. I wouldn't. But she wasn't going to go to the cave with me, okay? She was not going to go to the cave with me. No. She helped keep me, you know, a little bit. I'd have been in a dumper a lot of times if it wasn't for her stability. We ain't doing that, Tony. We're not doing that. No, we're not doing it. Oh, okay, all right. So, all right, first off, you got to understand, who's he talking to? Is he talking to born-again people? Uh-uh. He's still attempting to get people to understand that he is the way. He's still attempting to get people to understand that to come to him. That he said, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to him. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come with your stress. Come with your problems. Come with the things that you're struggling with and you can't handle. You come to me. You just come to me. So here, in the context of this, he's talking about a cross. How would the people reading this in at that time think about carrying a cross? Okay? Is that something they casually did? They just walked around? You know, they walked around through the day carrying a cross? No. If someone was seen carrying a cross, it meant one thing to the people reading this. It meant that this person was on his way to die. This person was going to be crucified. This person was carrying his cross for one purpose, to go to the place of death so that he could die. Is he going to do that every day? One time. That's it. You're carrying your cross to go to die one time. You're not going to die twice. You're not going to do it every day. You're not going to carry your cross around and die every day. You're not going to die daily. Every time you're going to go to the cross, put it up, die, and get back off the cross again. You, when you die, you're not getting back off. He's talking about the one-time death that we would die to our old spirit, to our old nature, to our sin nature. The old lady who you used to be, the old man who you used to be. He said, you come to me. You bring that cross to me and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Wow. Whenever you read the words of Jesus, anything in the Old Testament, you need to filter it through. There's two main filters, okay? There's the religious filter, okay? Take that one, put it in a toilet, and flush it, okay? Flush it. If you've got to flush three times for it to all go down, flush three times. But get rid of that religious filter, okay? The religious filter is all the things that we add in, that get added in, that we need to do to please God, to have God's favor, to be blessed by God. No, 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 no. He did all that through Jesus. As soon as you got in Jesus, you got it all. Hallelujah. This is good news. This is really, really good news. So you can hear it through the filter of religion, theology, or you can hear it through the filter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, I fear that somehow like the devil or the serpent deceived Eve, you have somehow been deceived from the simplicity of the gospel that is in Jesus Christ. He's saying it's so simple. And the enemy comes in the church, the enemy comes in people's Christian lives and tries to complicate the whole thing. Because I fear that somehow you've been deceived to take this simple gospel, just trust him. He's done it all for you. To take this simple gospel and complicate it and add to it. Suppose, let me give you an example. Suppose you hear a message that says, okay, if you wanna grow spiritually, you want to be more mature in your faith, then you need to fast and pray. I don't have a problem with fasting and praying. I have a problem with the statement that that's a condition for us getting blessing from God. It is not. It is not. There is nothing that's a condition except believing. Do you believe? And we hear that kind of stuff, and we believe that kind of stuff. And let me tell you what happens when you believe it. It's a lie. So when you believe a lie, now, you ready for this? I'm going to give you some examples from science. Okay, science is discovering some things that are like, they don't really understand how amazing it is, but we know from the scriptures what the word of the Lord will do. Okay, let me give you some things. There's this guy, this scientist, that he had pure water and he had polluted water. And he froze them, and the polluted water was all distorted and had different kinds of distortions all over it, and the pure water had a perfectly beautiful crystalline pattern. Beautiful. It looked like it was orchestrated in heaven. probably was. And it was pure water that was frozen. And then they took pure water and they put a sign on two vials of pure water. And one said, thank you, and the other, I love you, and the other one said, I hate you. And then they told people to walk up to those vials of water and speak to the water. Speak to the water. Say, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so pure. You're so lovely. Yes. And then the other one, I hate you. You're disgusting. You're terrible. You're good for nothing. And after a number of days, they froze the water. And the pure water, they were both started out pure. The pure water that was spoken good things to had a perfect crystalline pattern. The water that was spoken evil of was all distorted like it was polluted. It had no rhyme, reason at all to it. And scientists are saying, that was just words. It's not just words. Our words are the product of what we believe. What, out of the abundance of your heart, out of the abundance of what you believe inside of you, is how you speak. Jesus said, my words, how I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Because in his heart was nothing but the love of God, the pure love of God. There was no flesh. There was no sin that was in there to mix in. So they did another test. They had they made some rice, some white rice. Okay, they got one jug, they put a top on it, and they sealed it, a white rice, and then another one did the same thing to them. And they put a sign on both of those. And the first one was to says thank you, and the other one was say, you know, negative things about. So they did it in a classroom with children. They had children come up and speak to each of the jugs of rice for 30 days. And the white rice that they spoke good things of, boy, you look so good. You're so healthy. Boy, I'm excited to see how beautiful you look. What a great pot of rice. Okay, they're speaking that. After 30 days, it was just the same, perfect, ready to eat. Just as good as when it was made. The other one, it turned all black and moldy and yucky. Here's what science has discovered. That somehow, they say somehow, now we know the answer, but they say somehow our words have the ability to change the substance, to change the structure of an object. Our words somehow have the ability to change the substance or change the structure of an object. Okay, how about take an internal organ inside of your body? Are you thinking, church? We don't just have words. We have the name of Jesus Christ. And if a person can speak and change make metabolic changes in something, I also read about what they call the placebo effect. Okay, they people who are sick, they get them all with the same kind of sickness together, and they give some of them this pill. It's a sugar pill. But they give them this pill, and they say, this pill, we guarantee you, will fix you. It'll cure you. You just take this pill every day for a week. It'll fix you. And the other people, they didn't give that to. The other people got worse. The people that they gave the sugar pill to got healed. Why? Because they believed. They believed that pill. They believed the voice, the word is that person that told them, this pill will absolutely cure you. They believed that. They placed faith in that. And because their faith was in that, they got relief. Is that bizarre? How much more do we have with the name of Jesus? How much more assurance do we have? You know, for a long time I thought it seems kind of silly with me speaking to a body part of mine that's not working right. It seems kind of silly. I don't think it's silly anymore. I got something acting up. I'm speaking to it because I know that in the name of Jesus, that body part is getting hit with the spirit in my words. And it's releasing. It's releasing life. Let me tell you, let me go a little deeper. You want a little deeper? Well, this is really cool. Okay, inside of the human body, we got what they call T cells and B cells, okay? It's the immune system. The T cells, when there's a foreign body, a foreign cell comes into the body, the T cell goes after it and traps it so it won't spread, okay? Then it calls on the B cells and gets them to multiply, and the B cells come with antibodies to destroy this thing that's been trapped by the T cell, truth cell. Now, if we believe a lie, and that cell gets into our body because we have believed a lie, something, what's a lie? Anything other than the truth of what Jesus Christ has done, right? Has he healed every sickness? Has he carried every sickness? Has he carried every disease? Has he? Has he forgiven every sin? Has he or has he not? Has he set us free from the devil, from every demon, every ounce of demonic activity? Has he done it or not? Okay, if we believe something that's contrary to that, okay, I know you did that, Jesus, but that's not working for me. Right now, I got other issues. You don't have other issues. You have one issue, not believing. That's it. There's one issue. It's not believing. Okay, so what happens? If we believe that lie, then that cell comes in and it's masked and the T cell can't tell that it's against us because we put faith in it. Because we believed in it, in those words. Are you seeing this? If you believe that you have to have this thing, whatever it is, okay, then the ability that God gave you within your body to be able to repel this thing, capture it, repel it, dissolve it, kill it, is nullified. Because you who are in control, place faith in the fact of what some doctor said, or what some person said, whatever it is. Now I'm not talking about just physical stuff. It could be, what if somebody who's near to you says words to you that are hurtful? Someone that you thought you love very much, and you thought that they love you, and they said words to you that instant rejection, you can feel the rejection come, okay? If you buy into that lie that you are rejected, in truth, are we rejected? We are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in Christ. You are accepted in Christ. Does God ever take back the acceptance? Does God ever say, no, you're not my daughter anymore. No, you're not my son anymore. Does he ever do that? Will he ever do that? No, he's a good God. He'll always be good. You cannot be rejected. Only you have to believe a lie. The person that used to get rejected, what happened to that person? Crucified with Christ and dead. But if we believe that our old nature is still in us, then you're going to get the effect of just like you still have it, because that's what you believe. But you don't. You've been set free. You've been set free. You've been set free. Only believe. So I started really thinking about stuff like, I wonder if I could speak to fat cells. Well, okay. You know, I think what has been made available to us is way, way, way huger than what we're experiencing. You know, scripture where it says, I wanna know Christ. That word almost always in the New Testament is epinosis, which means experientially encounter the truth of who he is. I want to know in my physical frame this Jesus who's living in me and has already defeated sickness and pain and disease, and the spirit who raised him from the dead will flow through me as you believe. So science has found out that according to what we believe, it either nullifies or permits things coming into us. Wow. And we think, well, it's a big deal, you know? You know, you speak like this. You know what? I'm a real jerk. I just can't do anything right. I mess everything up. Don't ever do that. You understand now what kinds of things are happening? Amen. Yep. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, how many times have we heard that? Can we today agree? God said that because he wants us to realize, if we're saying it, if you hear yourself saying something negative, saying something that's bad, okay, first off, it's a condition of your heart. You believe something that's not right, okay? So ask the Holy Spirit to show you, what is it that I believe that's not, it's contrary to the truth of the gospel? It's not right. Because I don't want those kinds of things coming out of my mouth, okay? When I first started realizing that that was going on with me, I took the words of James where he says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I actually, people were talking to me and I wouldn't answer them because I didn't want to give an answer that was going to release something that's going to hurt people. So I started, you know, becoming, people were thinking I was retarded. They thought there was something serious wrong with me. And it was simply because I was beginning to realize the effect of the words that I speak on myself and on others. I had this guy that was, he's kind of in my face, and he was telling me he didn't like me. I was letting his words come in. And I didn't stop it. And as he was going, all of a sudden, my back, I got serious, serious pain in my back. It hurt so bad. It was like a lightning piece of lightning. Me in the back. How could my listening to someone say negative things about me affect me physically like that? Because words have a much greater effect than we realize. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says that we need to understand that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not. We don't wrestle people. We don't punch people. We don't knock them down. We don't sue them and get lawyers on them, and, you know, all that stuff. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, and they are mighty through God to the demolishing of strongholds. What's a stronghold? It's us believing these lies enough so that it like builds walls inside of our mind, and that's the only way we can think when we have an issue like that, because we've thought that way so many times. Okay, but the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They are powerful through God to demolish strongholds. And what does he say? Take every thought captive. Watch this. Take every thought captive and make it obedient. Bring it to the obedience of Christ. You hear that? Take the thoughts captive and you bring that thought to the obedience of Christ. The thoughts may be there coming from somebody else. You know, you're a bad mother, you're a bad father, you're a bad husband, you're a bad wife, you're a bad worker, you're bad this, bad that, whatever. Those words may come, okay? You need to take those thoughts that came in, and take them captive and bring them to the obedience of Christ. And this is what you can come back with, okay? It don't matter what I've done or what I've done right or what I've done wrong. What matters is what Jesus Christ has done. And because of his obedience, you can't touch me. Because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, you can't touch me. And this thing stops right there. And it doesn't go any farther. Man, you know, how many of you have known the nights of just tossing and turning because of something somebody said? Okay? I mean, you know, that's operating in this realm, okay? The law of sin and death, and we're going to go down, okay? We want to operate in the law of the Spirit of life, where we're trusting in him. He's already gained victory over it. Here's what the devil tries to do to us. He tries to get us to think that because of our lack of obedience, because of our lack of doing something, because we didn't follow through on something, because we didn't pray enough, because we didn't fast enough, it's always because we didn't do enough, or we didn't do something. Like if you buy that lie, you're going to get hit with the effect of that lie. It's a lie. has nothing to do, nothing, the gospel is not about us. It's about Jesus and what he's done. It's all about Jesus and what he's done. That's the beauty of the gospel. Hallelujah. You just believe. So you come back at those crazy thoughts that come at you, and you say, hey, well, you can mouth off all you want, devil. But I ain't buying it, because Jesus has already taken care of this issue for me. Hallelujah, I don't have to be perfect. Oh, yeah, in my spirit, I am perfect. But my actions don't have to be perfect. In fact, we can go the rest of our days here, and you're going to find out your actions are never going to be totally perfect. Okay, you're going to mess up. You're going to fall. Okay, but that doesn't disqualify you. That doesn't take you out. That doesn't give permission for the enemy to come in. What gives permission is you believing that it does. And then we get into the whole deliverance thing, okay? That we, because of our sin, we got all these demons that have come in and they've messed us all up, okay? Yeah. If you believe that, that's what you got. You know what I believe? I've gone through that. Okay, I've lived that. You know what I believe? I've been delivered. I've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, and I've been brought into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Okay, two separate kingdoms. There's a dividing line. They cannot mix. Okay, I have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. I have been delivered from the kingdom of this world. I'm an alien. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a sojourner. This is not my home anymore. My home is in heaven. I'm an ambassador, a representative of Jesus Christ right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, what am I doing? I'm believing. I'm confessing truth. What does that do? Goes right to my body parts, goes right to my system, goes affects every the atmosphere around me. It affects everything. Eh? Yeah, that's right. What did Jesus say? My kingdom will be in you. Amen. 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 I know people now that are so wrapped up in, you know, finding demons everywhere that they're just a wreck. Their life is a wreck. They got no peace. They're very critical of other people. They're very, you know, judgmental. It's like, come on. That's old man stuff. That's old creation stuff. That's the work of demons that we don't have any part in anymore, nor do we ever want to have part in that unless we believe we do. You see, it all hinges on what are you believing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. Go in your Bible to Philemon. Okay, you need some help? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, or Philemon, however you want it. However you want it. All I know is that Malachi is not Malachi, it's Malachi. He's an Italian prophet. It's Malachi. Okay. Philemon, can you put this one up, Harvey? Philemon 1:6. Watch this. That the sharing, okay, that word sharing means communication, transfer, or release. Okay, so the release of your faith. You want to know how to release your faith? So the release of your faith may become effective. That means may begin to work. Okay, you want to release your faith and see it work? He's telling us something really big here. That the release of your faith may begin to work by the acknowledgement of every your faith is going to work when you acknowledge the good things, when you acknowledge what God has done for you, when you acknowledge who God is, who he's made you to be, not when you acknowledge the bad stuff, not when you acknowledge the problem, not when you acknowledge and agree with all the things that are wrong, okay? Your faith will not be released. In fact, you're actually confusing your internal immune system and causing it to not recognize that these cancerous, deadly cells are coming into your body and not recognize them as dangerous because you've placed faith in them. So they've been masked with a lie that your immune cells can't recognize because they think they're good because you believed in it. Are you with me? Whoa, this is huge. This is really, 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 really huge. It's really huge. That the release of your faith may become effective, may get released by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Highlight it. Print it out. Blow it up. Put a sign on your wall. Carry it with you. Memorize it. It's truth. Yes. Amen. I think you've got it. Amen. 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 Yes. What did you say? Well, I think that he thinks that if you'd like to have a cup of sangria, then have it. Okay, what's the word you just said? Key word, sober. The Bible says, okay, that we should not be under the influence of anything other than the Holy Spirit, okay? And he puts in that Ephesians 5:18 verse, he says, don't be drunk on wine. He didn't say don't drink wine. He said, don't be drunk on it. Okay, well, you have the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit will check you. Like, okay, you enjoy that one? Let's limit it right there. It's okay. It's okay. You know, when they had communion in the beginning, they used real wine. And it was not mild wine. Hallelujah. Who do you have? You have the Spirit of God in you. Okay, but where's your trust? Where's your trust? Oh, okay. All you need to do is to keep your focus on him, on who he is and what he's done for you. And you continue fellowship with him. Okay, well, Holy Spirit's never going to give you fear, okay? Holy Spirit will never give you fear. If you're getting hit with fear, that's coming from the enemy, okay? And again, the enemy, the number one job of the enemy is to get you out of the spirit and into the flesh. Number one job, to get you out of trusting in Jesus and fulfilling everything that you need and into the place where now you're striving and you're trying to make things happen. That's the number one job of the enemy, to get you out of the spirit into the flesh. You don't have to go there. No, okay. Stop saying that. Oh, okay. Okay, you are not first a Jewish person. You are a daughter of Jesus Christ. You're a daughter of the King. That's who you are, okay? That's who you are. Forget about the Jewish thing. Okay, you can have fun with talking about it. I have fun with talking about the Italian thing, okay? But I'm a son of God. Okay, no, what you are, okay? We've got to get ourselves out of looking to our human heritage. Okay, we got to get ourselves out of that, because when you got born again, you got an entire new genealogy. The genealogy you got when you got born again is you go back one generation. You have one father. Your father is the Lord God Almighty. Okay, that's your generation. That's it. Is there any sickness in your generation? Is there any drunkenness in your No, none of that is in your new generation. That's who you are now. So get yourself out of that. I'm glad you came to church too. Yeah. Look. No. No. Okay, as he is, so are you in this world. How is he right now? Is he a Jewish carpenter sitting at the right hand of the Father? He's the Son of God. He's Almighty God. He's the Creator God. And you are in him, seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, you're thinking a little bit too low, okay? Yeah, a little bit too low. You can go much higher. Let me show you a scripture that changed my life. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Not that I have already attained, we can all say that, right? Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. You just got through saying that, okay? Not that that's the case yet, because it's not the case yet. But, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended yet, but one thing I do. But one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things. Reaching forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. What's behind? Who you used to be. The old sinner lady, Susan, that had your nature was to sin. Your nature was to be independent of God. Your nature was to do your own thing. Your nature was to be critical. Your nature was to be judgmental. Your nature was to get angry. Your nature was to do wrong things to people and get even. Your nature was to try to straighten people out and get them. That's not the nature of your new spirit. Uh-uh. That's not the nature. We don't try to change people. We don't criticize, we don't judge. That's not for you. Your Holy Spirit wants no part of that. That's old creation. It's old creation. How many times I'll during the day I'll start to get aggravated with something that's going on with somebody, you know, and I'll there's the flesh again. Dead to that. That's not who I am. It's like a dead man being brought and stood in front of me and me trying to communicate with the dead man. That's how stupid it is. Because that's the way he used to think. But he's dead. He's crucified. He's gone. It's over. Okay, you're seeing how it works, okay? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to do his work. We're trying to change our life. We're trying to fix our life. That's not our job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Amen. Okay. I gave you enough. I quit. Praise God. Praise God. That's pretty, I mean, that should rack us. It really should rack us. So we're, you know what? Now I've just got a line drawn, okay? I just got a line drawn, and I'm not letting the devil ever get past that line again. I'm not going to be duped anymore. I'm not letting any lies go inside of me and affect me physically, emotionally, spiritually. I'm not doing it. In Jesus' name, I can do all things. Certainly, in his name, I can remain in the Spirit, because that's what he wants, okay? Whatever you pray for according to his will, you can know that you have the request that you've asked it of him, 1 John says. Is it his will that we walk in the Spirit, we remain in the Spirit, we stay filled with him, stay filled with his fruit, his joy, his peace, his healing, his health? Is that his will? Hallelujah! Okay, then the Spirit of God will release that as long as we keep our faith there. Amen. 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 This is one of the things, what I shared with you today is one of these things that you want to meditate on this truth, okay? You want to meditate on it. You want it to become who you are, so you know the effect of what is coming out of your mouth. You know the effect of what's occurring with what you believe and don't believe, things that you believe. You know that, so you're allowing the Holy Spirit a way to begin to radically transform you. And if you get transformed, you're going to transform people around you. You know, if we're not transformed, then we can only pass on what we got. So if we're in a semi-comatose state, we can make a lot of other people semi-comatose. But, you know, and you say, well, that's better than being totally comatose. Yeah, but really, we've been given the goods. We've been given the goods. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And remember, whatever state you're in, it's not about where you're at. It's about what Jesus has already done. Okay, so 24/7, you can release life anywhere you go. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Anybody need prayer? Come on up here. We want to pray for you. Sure, buddy. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Every one of us in this room are one of a kind. Praise God. To release also. Yeah. Because that's what we want to do. We want to partner with him to release the faith that brings everything that is available to us into the here and now. Yeah. And how is he saying we do that? Yeah, that's right. Agree with what he says. Agree with what he says. Not what other people say, not with what your mind tells you. It's what he says. You agree with that. And then hang on. Get your seatbelt on. Get ready to rock. Woo. So who needs prayer? Come on. Okay.